Take it off, take it in, take off all the thoughts of what we've been. Take a look, hesitate, take a picture you could never recreate. Write a song, make a note for the lump that sits inside your throat.
Welcome. All the thoughts of what you've been. God, I sound like a small girl. Welcome to Sarcastic News. My name is Mindy Jorgensen. I'm kidding. But I do sound like a small... I do sound kind of like you, Mindy.
What am I? A little. You have the angry two-year-old voice.
I do. I have the angry Ellen DeGeneres voice.
Justin, that is not nice to call Mindy that.
Ellen DeGeneres?
No. I look like Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, look. Oh.
Yeah. You're like, I. She's smart. She's like funny. Her. Yeah, she's cute.
No, she's cool. Yeah.
And those of us watching on the live stream can actually see the dance moves that you have that match Ellen's as well.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to do it right now into the camera. This is just me backing my ass up.
Are you twerking?
I honestly don't. I thought twerking was like jerking off for women. And I was like, how are they talking about it that much on CNN? But anyway.
You know what they call jacking off for women?
I don't know, but I'm ready.
Shredding beef.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
All right.
Excuse me. I have to go shred some beef in the bathroom.
Oh. Whoa. Indeed.
It definitely sounds like something else besides masturbating if you're going to the bathroom. Quote, shred beef. All right, real classy show. Good thing most people missed the first 45 seconds of the show. My name is Justin Cross. I'm coming to you live, folks. Live, not dead, but live in the Skid Row Studios. Or as we like to call it, the Rat Cage here. Because it's a studio, a cage of sorts, with live rats running around. And they usually try to eat our Subway sandwiches. But we're live right here, Skid Row Studios, in the heart of LA's Metro PCS retailer district. And tonight... we are going to be joined by special guest. He's a former political consultant for John Kerry, Brandon Turner. Brandon Turner will be calling in, and we're very excited about having him here.
He's not going to be calling in if he saw your dance moves at the beginning. He left.
Well, he may. I mean,
right.
He doesn't know about shredding beef. So, now with me, as always in the Skid Row Studios, the Sarcastic News Crack Squatter, or some form of it, really. Mm-hmm. Sitting right next to me, Jake the Snake Cranny.
I'm so pumped to be here tonight. I'm just really excited. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling good.
This is going to be our what show? This is going to be our top what?
Well, you know I don't like to go out on a limb, but I'm going to do it right now. Going to be one of our top 32 shows.
Top 32.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
He always likes to leave room for space.
Set the bar low, you never fail.
I know.
You always. It's like
fantasy football team must have done well this week.
I have the entire Jaguars offense.
Possibly,
yes.
Positively, yeah.
He likes to leave room for space. That voice right across the street from me here, that is Lightning Matt Mills. Lightning Matt Mills.
Yeah, I like that. I wish I had a lightning sound drop to put in for that.
Do you have this one maybe? Wait, that, it didn't play. Why is it? Oh, there it is.
I hope you have diabetes.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to get Wilford Brimley in there. All right, well, let's get to the real news this week. Today is September 11th, and the country is remembering and commemorating the tragic event in a number of different ways. And not to joke around, but it's true. Like, we have to report on the news here, and the country is celebrating this a little bit differently. In the Northeast, many people are remembering what happened, and they're just thinking about how damn good Rudy Giuliani is. In the Pacific Northwest, many residents are lighting up commemorative marijuana cigarettes. In the Midwest, most folks are honoring the victims by consuming a massive ball of cheese. And in the South, most residents are just happy that SEC football is back, really. Plus, some of them still think that it's September 10th. So, that kind of leads us into Syria, the ongoing saga in Syria. While it's almost inevitable that we were going to attack the country through airstrikes, apparently now we're backing off on that. We are now going to beat them up with our rhetoric, folks. We are going to beat them down with our words. That's right, Syria, because it's politically unpopular in America, you may get off with, guess what, a timeout and a stern talking to. Not even a spanking. I mean, we may even, guess what? We may even go super passive aggressive on your ass. We may give you a look and then just crop dust you. All right? We may go shred some beef. And with a slight hope of Russia stepping in and helping the situation, President Obama suspended the voting on Operation Scare Bomb, as it's being called. And here's actually the speech yesterday from President Obama. Here's a portion.
I have therefore asked the leaders of Congress to postpone a vote to authorize the use of force while we pursue this diplomatic path.
Instead, Obama plans to send one of our most charming and charismatic politicians to Russia.
I'm sending Secretary of State John Kerry to meet his Russian counterpart on Thursday, and I will continue my own discussions with President Putin.
Because apparently the plan, it looks like, is to lull Russian diplomatics, Russian diplomats to sleep with old sleepy grandpa Leatherface. In fact, Kerry himself is ecstatic about the prospects of the diplomatic venture. Here it is.
He could turn over every single bit of his chemical weapons to the international community in the next week. Turn it over, all of it, without delay, and allow a full and total accounting for that. But he isn't about to do it, and it can't be done, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Was that Walter Matthau or Jack Lemmon? Like, which one? Seriously. I think he lulled himself to sleep. Play it one more time, Sugar Mills. One more time.
He could turn over every single bit of his chemical weapons to the international community in the next week. Turn it over. All of it.
Oh, is that John
without
Wayne?
Without delay and allow a full and total accounting for that. But he isn't about to do it, and it can't be done, obviously.
Obviously. I mean,
he's
really,
not about to do it.
Really, I mean, it's honestly just a free trip to Syria. I'd be probably sitting first class next to Vanna White. That's Secretary of State John Kerry right there, sounding like he just won the lotto. not the new lotto, the old timey lotto where the selected winner gets stoned to death in town square. And I don't know if you guys caught this in sports this week. The U.S. soccer team, they qualified last night. The U.S. soccer team qualified for the World Cup this past Tuesday night, otherwise known as Real Football Night in America. Landon Donovan, Clint Dempsey, I said Clint with an N in the middle. Clint Dempsey and the American footballers down their compadres to the south 2-0, making sure to avoid getting booed and heckled by Mexicans in our own country like we did a couple years ago at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. The qualifier game was held in the lovely town of Columbus, Ohio. Not to be confused with Tulsa, Oklahoma, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Savannah, Georgia, or Whitey McWhite-White, Kansas. The fuck was that?
It's a rabid squirrel in the rat cage.
That was David Lee Roth. It screaming in remotely. Yeah.
We got quite a base right there.
Yeah.
But honestly, when it comes to soccer, though, I'm just impressed that there are enough people who like soccer enough in Ohio to fill a whole stadium. I mean, they must have convinced people that their ticket was good for a soccer game followed by a post-match LeBron James jersey burning. With trash cans for the burning being donated by 70% of Cleveland residents.
So, ouch.
It's funny. Because there's a high unemployment rate. Matt Sugar Mills, you were a little focused during, we only got a couple people here. I need you to bring the fucking heat tonight, okay? I need you balls to the wall.
I did have a pretty tasty burrito, so.
Oh,
you,
God.
You want some heat, yeah.
Not going to smell good in the rat cage.
He's going to be shredding some beef tonight. We got a big show. We got a 9, God, I don't know how to even say this. We got a 9/11 game coming up for you.
I hope
it's something that's not going to offend people more than I did during the monologue.
It's going to be incredibly depressing.
So we've got that coming up. Follow us on at @SarcasticNews1 and check us out on the web, sarcastic-news.com. We've got new articles coming in daily. And you're listening to Skid Row Studios. Call on 800-893-9562. We're going to be joined by former political consultant Brandon Turner in just a little while. So stay tuned for that. And the Ring of Fire, of course. We're going to be coming up right back here on Sarcastic News Live.
Oh, you'll be back, all right.
Jim from...
guys. I called you out a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't do.
When did it start? And when will it end? I've lived through the worst and I can do it again. I ran through the fire. I got burned.
Back here in Sarcastic News Live, joined in the rat cage here with Matt Sugar Mills,
Ayo.
Jake the Snake Craney.
Yep.
And as we get into our 9/11 game here, we're going to bring in our one of our loyal listeners, Jim in Santa Fe Springs. Jim, you're on the line?
Hello. How are you?
Hey, Jim.
Hi.
Jimbo.
This is reporting from the Santa Fe Springs Man Cave. And it's been a while. I missed the show. Your 8 o'clock start time is a little past my bedtime. Once, you know, I'm a family guy. It's a little too late here.
No. This show is actually designed for families, too. So we'll make sure to adjust that. I don't know if you've caught it, but...
Well, I don't know about the family part, you know, especially with the Jake the Snake, you know, that worries me a little bit about, you know, my daughter listening to that.
I am holding yes. a wooden thing here, Jim, that says, spank someone happy. Family show.
That's a family show.
Speaking of soccer, you know, I was watching the U.S. Mexico, and I was even wearing my United States shirt, cheering for the United States. And my wife, who's from Mexico, Guadalajara, was a teary eye that Mexico lost. So I told her, "No problem, honey. I'm going to go to Rio alone and root for the United States." So yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you won't do anything dirty down in Rio by yourself.
Absolutely not. Pure soccer all the way. Totally. Nothing else.
Well, you know, here's the deal, Jim. I you know, you were teary-eyed, or your wife was teary-eyed a little bit, and you were teary-eyed as well, because I know how you like to watch soccer, which is high as a kite. So I know that's how you like to do it. Hey, Jim, I got a quick question, though. You're a loyal caller and loyal listener of the show. Could you actually – you want to play along? We got a game that we're going to play. And okay. If you don't mind hanging on the line here, I want you to play along with us if you can.
Oh, sure. Okay.
All right. So Jake the Snake's going to take it away, Snake.
Okay, here we go. So in honor of the date today, 9/11, we are going to play a little trivia game. Kind of deals with some of the effects that you wouldn't normally think about from the 9/11 attacks. It's nothing depressing. Don't worry about it. So basically, I'm going to give you three statements. One of them is true. Two of them I made up. Mm. So you guys have to guess the one that is a fact.
Two lies, one truth.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm ready for this.
Okay, right. So there's three of these. Number one, immediately after the 9/11 attacks, it is true that A, no birds were spotted flying within a 5-mile radius of New York City. B, whales in the Atlantic Ocean became happier and less stressed. C, wolves in eastern Canada could be heard howling for nearly the entire day.
Oh, those Canadian wolves.
I'm gonna. We'll start with Jimbo. You seem excited.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry. My answer is A.
Okay. Birds spotted flying within a 5-mile radius of New York City.
Okay. So you think that's false?
No. You're guessing the truth.
Oh, I didn't listen to what you say.
Clearly.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's true.
Oh, God!
All right. Matt's just fascinated with the soundbite game. What do you got, Sugar Mills? What do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with A. No birds within the 5-mile radius. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with C.
Oh, what
was
C?
The wolves.
Okay. Yeah. Very happy to announce a riveting start to the game. None of you are correct.
Wow.
Correct answer is whales in the Atlantic Ocean became happier and less stressed.
Oh.
Less traveling overhead with shipping created a lot more free communication between whales, and their stress levels were actually reduced.
This was a total conspiracy of whales, then.
I think Michael Moore did a film on this, actually.
They were very happy. Yeah. I researched that firsthand. I was in the Atlantic Ocean with whales at the time. Little known fact.
All right, so Jim, when you lose, you have to drink. So
man cave. You got to have something in the man cave.
Yeah.
You got to call
him? Well, I admit it, but I have been.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've been pre-gaming for tonight's show.
I thought when I answered, I had to drink. Yeah.
All right.
I also have my wife Anna here, who listens to the show too. Say hi, Anna. Say hi. Hello.
Oh,
hi Anna. You're a brave soul for coming on the show or for listening to the show. I mean, anybody who listens to the show is really brave. So we thank you though. We thank you very much.
She's a brave soul for being married to me for 15 years.
Yeah,
that's more brave soul.
He's
a trooper.
I definitely agree with that. All right. On with it, Jake.
Question number two. In the 3 days following the attacks, it is true that A, the United States temperature rose, the United States temperature fell. C, Nelly released his hit song Hot in Her.
Ooh.
A curveball there.
Let's start off with Matt Sugar Mills.
I'm going to say the temperature rose. Okay. I remember that fall. It was a warm fall.
Okay, remembers the warm fall.
Yes. I'm going to say the temperature dropped.
Okay.
And Jimbo, what are you going to say?
I'm going with A, it rose.
Okay. Matt Mills and Jim are correct. The temperature rose nearly 3 degrees. Sort of an interesting little thing here. All of the plane traffic was stopped and grounded. So those contrails that you see actually act like mirrors and reflect heat back up. So without that, the temperature actually got warmer.
Wow.
I don't like your science, Snake.
Is the most I've ever actually used my brain.
Right.
Did you
steal this quiz? I feel like you stole this quiz from MikeAsks.com.
I'm on the ground. I'm field reporting these temperatures in Wales.
Okay.
Well, in Google, when he types in the fields, he just put 9/11, and then it said, like, trivia game.
That's the first thing that pops up.
And
it said, feel free to steal.
All right.
What do we got next?
Last question. We've got Justin Cross bringing up the rear, as he so often does, with zero correct.
Call me the rear admiral.
All right. Last question. In the weeks following the attacks, it is true that A, junk food sales in the U.S. increased dramatically. B, the suicide rate in England dropped dramatically. C, the insect population of the U.S., Canada, and Mexico dropped dramatically.
Ooh. Wow. Insect rate. I would say the insect rate. I'll start it off.
Okay. Now we got to.
I'll start off with C. Jimbo, actually, let's finish with Jimbo. So, Matt, you go ahead.
Okay. I would say B, the fewer Brit suicides.
And Jim?
I'm going to go with A.
Junk food sales?
More junk food. People are eating more junk food. And listen, I'll sign out. And you guys have a wonderful evening. We'll listen to the rest of the show. And Dodgers are losing 3-0 here in the fourth. and thank you. I'll sign out and listen to the rest.
Well, hold on, Jim. If you win, you gotta get your prize. We're giving away a prize tonight, so it's a signed jock strap from Jake the Snake Cranny. So so you gotta stay on the line for just a second till we're almost done here.
Okay. Well, happy to announce that Justin Cross went 0-3 in the trivia game. So breaking the tie, winning the game with the correct answer. Matt Sugar Mills.
Yeah. Oh.
Suicide rate in England dropped dramatically.
All right, well, Jim,
if there's one thing I know, it's my 9/11 trivia.
Well, Jim, the good thing, though, and we appreciate you and Anna staying on the line and listening to the show so much, we actually have a second jock strap that Jake signed. So we're going to mail that to you down in Santa Fe Springs.
It's a consolation prize, and it is not signed with a pen.
No.
Yeah, that's what he needs.
Well, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to the good smell. And yeah, evening.
Yes.
And we'll listen on. Thanks for the good show. Good night.
Thank you. All right, Jim. Thanks, Jim and Anna down in Santa Fe Springs. And you know, as all of you probably could imagine, Jake's jockstrap is where primordial life on Earth began, really.
That's where I got the idea for that insect answer.
The same conditions right there, at least. Yeah.
Isn't that how penicillin was discovered?
You know what? Actually, you know what's crazy? And I can't remember the guy's name offhand who had the invention. You know,
Salk, Jonas Salk.
Salk, okay. Yes. Okay. So that guy, don't look at me like I'm dumb, Mills. I didn't know that offhand, okay? The thing about that guy, I tutored, which that's a joke, right? I tutored his like great grandson or his grandson here in Santa Monica. Lives in Santa Monica. I'll give you his exact address if anybody wants to.
Excellent. Yes.
That is what we got right now. That was a good game. I liked it. It was interesting. It was informative, logical. So we've got that coming up. We got Ring of Fire coming up next. We're going to have Kareem Maddox. Kareem the Dream Maddox. They call him the Dream because a lot of people get wet when they listen to him talk. And he's going to be calling in here in a few minutes. Mindy Jorgensen will be joining us as well. She's been eating pot brownies for most of the show, so she'll be coming in here in a few minutes as well. She's like, "No, I'm not. I'm shredding my beef." But we've got that coming up for you. Stay on the line. Hit us up. We got Josh Cross, my brother, Josh and Austin, working the Twitter line at Sarcastic News One. So feel free to hit us up on that and give us a call 800-893-9562. You're listening to Sarcastic News Live. We're gonna be right back. Here on Sarcastic News Live. My name is Justin Cross. I'm here with Jake the Snake Craney, Matt Sugar Mills, and Jake the Snake. That's a little groundsounds.com right there. Jake the Snake, your What's your title? Like West Coast President or something?
Yeah, we could say that. Editor-in-Chief, I guess, is my official title, but I can pretty much call myself whatever I want to.
Don't be modest. Editor-in-Chief, come on. You run that shit.
You guys have a lot of good guests on the show.
Thank you.
Capital Cities, I know.
Yeah, Youngblood Hawk, Capital Cities, The Neighborhood, yeah. 1975, the band that was just playing there. Yeah.
Good band, very good band.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Check them out, groundsounds.com, and I'm with Matt Sugar Mills, and Kareem the Dream Maddox will be calling in here soon. He's on the line.
All right.
Kareem, you there?
I'm here.
All right.
That's right. Kareem the Dream, he's our newest member of the Sarcastic News Crack Squad, calling in from... a cave in Montana, actually. He's been building bombs.
He's smoking peyote with Phil
Jackson. That's how he celebrates 9/11, Justin, okay?
I want to know, what are you currently doing right now, Kareem?
Okay, so right now, I'm standing in the pitch black in the outside in West Montana. I have a silhouette of the mountain. I just saw a shooting star, and it looks like someone left the barn light on. So that's kind of scary.
Wow.
Until you got to the barn thing, I was going to say, man, are you writing a haiku over there? I mean, Jesus Christ.
This is
how many, like you're on a walkabout picture, out there.
Yeah.
Your soul.
I mean, is that...
This is my week to get out of L.A. You'd be surprised. There's no traffic up here, which is phenomenal.
I bet.
I'm relaxing.
You can probably see the stars there.
Yeah. There's lots out tonight.
When you're like, I see the stars, they're not like, oh, you saw Nicole Kidman? Like, dude, it's actually real stars. Gas in the night, yeah. Speaking of gas in the night, Jake the Snake right now. Kareem, no, we appreciate you calling in all the way from Montana on your spring break from Princeton, and we do appreciate you calling in here. I want to bring you in here and get your, because you're a little younger than all of us, actually, I think. And we're all kind of late 20s, early, well, Matt's 50, but Matt's 30. Yep. So we're all kind of, we all remember 9/11. And, but I want to know, first of all, what's the first thought that comes to your mind when you hear 9/11, whether it's something that you remember from where you were at the time, or just what do you think of when you hear September 11th?
Yeah. So I was reflecting on this today. So it's really interesting you ask, but it's one of those moments where you remember exactly where you were. And I was getting ready for school, sitting on my mom's bed, like, you know, getting dressed or whatever, watching TV, and kind of saw the whole thing live. And I was 11 at the time. So for me, it kind of corresponds with like a sort of lost innocence type of feel. Cause that's, you know, 11, I was kind of forming my opinions of the world. And for that to happen, you know, when, It kind of woke me up to the evils kind of the world, and you know, people are out killing one another over, you know, religion or over politics or whatever the case may be. So it was kind of a lost innocence type of thing for me.
Interesting.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's kind of similar
to my experience.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, so Kareem was 11 when that happened. Jake, how were you?
I was either a freshman or a sophomore in high school. I'm not exactly sure.
The years have been just
a blur since then.
You and I were 15, by the way. I knew the answer to that question.
Okay. Thanks for the answer there, Cross.
No. Yeah. But what comes to mind when you first hear September 11th or you know that those words and
really similar experience? Actually, I think we all kind of remember where we were. It's one of those moments where you always remember where you were, and then immediately following that, it's a lot of what Kareem said. It's like, wow, there's this whole larger, you know, section of the world that is not experiencing the same things that we are, and this really, there's a lot of messed up people, and just kind of, you know, it does shock you a little bit. It awakens you.
Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was an interesting time. It was my first week in college, actually, mm-hmm. and you know, at a time when really the world is all supposed to be opening up, you know, it was really interesting, and especially going through that transition. It was an interesting time. And also I was outside of Boston. I remember, you know, a couple of the planes had taken off from there. So it was a little bit of a scary time, but, also an interesting way to kind of get into the college life.
Do you think there was maybe a different feel because you were in the Northeast and you were, you know, you were around more of it? I mean, you were closer to it. Jake and I were down in Florida.
Right.
Kareem was out here in L.A. I mean, did you feel like being in the Northeast and closer to the situation that maybe you felt more worried, more...
You know, I don't know if it was... I don't know if it was so much about being in the Northeast as much as being near a big city.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had lived in L.A., I think if any of us had lived in L.A. or in D.C. or New York or any of the big cities, that's something. I think about that every now and then.
Fear-based.
Right. I always kind of think about that with L.A. I'm like, you know, I'd be a little freaked out if there was some kind of big attack because you just never know. L.A., even though it's a big city, it can be a target. So it wasn't so much being in the Northeast as it was being in a city.
Yeah. I'm going to join in here. I think of Rudy Giuliani and how goddamn good he was during the whole thing. No, actually. I just remember
that
was
like a serious man crush on Giuliani.
That was like his campaign for president during like 2008.
9/11.
So, yeah. Or 2004.
Yeah.
I remember where I was. I was in Mr. Blackman's class. It was journalism class. I remember that whole thing. But what comes to mind to
he
me...
He was
more
an out there dude.
Here's what sticks with me with 9/11 is that's the first... I think it's interesting to hear all three of you guys talk. We're a little bit different age or we're right around the same age. But it's one of those things that for us, for our generation, that was the first thing where we can go like, I remember that. You know, it was a coming of age thing for all of us in a way.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, a lot of times there was... You know, for maybe our parents, it was Vietnam, or grandparents, it was World War II, or even the Gulf War. But, you know, for us, it was 9/11. So I think, to me, that's interesting because I think we can all remember sort of where we were on that. And to me, that it's sad that wars have that feeling to them of, like, that's kind of your like, hey, Santa Claus isn't real moment, but...
Wait, what?
No, he's not real.
Well...
That guy whose lap
I
was just gonna say the guy whose lap you sit on
you
who has a gray beard.
Streams.
He's a pedophile, Jake.
Well, but here's why I actually for me, mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe because I hate to say it, I was a few years older, but I remember clearly for me it's now that's the marking point between for lack of a better term, post 9/11. World and pre 9/11 world. I mean, I remember. I think about that often. I'm like, how easy it was going through an airport.
Yeah,
and you know, you didn't have so much security on that. You know, it was just you didn't think about a lot of the different things that we think about now.
Right.
You know, you don't think about national security as much, which is now. I mean, I didn't even know what that meant probably before 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that kind of. I think that's what's interesting. To reflect back from the past 12 years is to see still what do we have in place because of that
mm-hmm.
and how the world was before that had happened.
I gotta agree with that. It's a very different world. And I want to bring that up and I want to start with Kareem because Kareem had, I remember last week we were talking about Syria and how things have changed in a week with Syria. We went from doing military strikes to now we're going to try to handle it diplomatically. I think, Kareem, you called that one, and I want to talk to you about that one first because talking about 9/11 and the incident itself, you know, the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan that followed it and over the past 12 years, how do you feel like, how has that affected how we are going into Syria now, how we view going in and invading another country. How has the ramifications after 9/11 sort of affected how we are now and how we view war?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, and one of the talking points, I think, from the administration and, you know, everyone else is that we're a country that's weary of war. And I think it's easier now because we've been at war for so long. You know, especially as long as, you know, it started with 9/11 and I was 11 then, and it seems like since then, most of my life, we've been at war. So I think that's playing a huge part in reluctance and to really jump on board. I mean, I haven't seen the polls lately. I'm isolated way up here. But what I really wanted to draw attention to was when Obama said, let me make one thing clear, the U.S. military doesn't do pinpricks.
Right.
I thought that was so. It was like such like a dominating, like you know what the U.S. military is type of thing, and I don't know. I just
yeah, I think we're weary of it, but I think the threat is always there, and that could be, you know, good enough, and hopefully it is good enough, and we can handle this diplomatically.
Right.
And that's what he said, too, is like, he's like, I know you all are so sick of war, and I remember maybe it was because just Justin and I were in North Florida at the time, but back then it was like, vengeance, like we got to go get those guys. Like we just hopped right into a full scale war. Well, whereas this time everybody is like, just let's not do this again.
Right, and I think the only people who are just gung ho pro, you know, let's go to Syria have a stick that they can measure their cock with in their right hand right now. No, I'm kidding, Jake.
Spank someone happy, folks. That's all I'm saying.
No, but it's funny.
Pleasure chest.
Because Jake is literally going like, yeah. We're going to beat the fuck out of him. Like
we're going to get him. We're going to go in there. We're going to get him.
That was a Dirk Diggler moment for Obama when he said that line about the pinprick.
Yeah, no, that's a great point you raise, Kareem, because that's kind of the essence, though, of, I mean, let's be honest. That's how we've kind of come to power. That's how a lot of countries come to power. They literally have a bigger military, and they, you know,
flex their muscle.
Right, exactly. So let's. I want to ask you guys this, and I want to. We got to unfortunately close out our Ring of Fire, which we do have the music for. I apologize, Mindy, for not queuing it up earlier, but, you know, as far as that goes, like, how much of an effect in general? Let's take away Syria and Afghanistan, all the different wars, like. Let's like kind of remove the, you know, specific situation for a second. But how much does having a big military sort of guide our processes in how we think about things? I mean, at the end of the day, does it come down to kind of having the biggest dick in the room?
It's a lot. I think it's a lot more than that. But it's a good leveraging tactic for someone like Syria to know that we can just press a button and they're gone.
It's not just with Syria, though. You know, I think we live in a world, and reflecting, kind of tying it all together, we live it can be the smallest group. It can be the smallest country that can have a huge impact and huge effect, devastatingly so. And so it's more about using our military power to show that no matter how big, no matter how small this threat is, somebody can handle this. Somebody can be, you know, and so it's, I think, I wasn't here last week to talk a lot about the Syria issue.
We noticed.
But
there's a lot less sound
effects. You missed that. It's not just about how can we punish the nations themselves, but how can we set an example that it's not, one person can't push the world around.
Right. And you know, that's interesting. I want to know real quick. This is just like we're kind of veering off subject here, but I want to go round table real quick. Very simple question. What is more important to sort of having long-term growth for a country or short-term? What's more important? What's more important? Having a really good educational system? Or having a really big military? Matt Sugarmills, you start us off.
Wait, okay. Education system or military in regards to?
Just in general, for a country's growth over, like, you know, throughout the years, what's more important, having a big
education.
Military or education?
Education.
Kareem?
Education. I mean, if you want to grow, like, in the colonial sense of the word, then I would support military, but I'm going to go with education on this one.
Thanks for having a diversity of opinions, guys. I really appreciate it. I sound like an idiot. Kareem, I wish we had more time. Thank you so much for calling in from the 6th of Montana. I hope you enjoy the peyote with Phil Jackson.
I appreciate it. See you next week.
Do you agree on that topic, by the way, Justin?
Thanks again for Kareem. That one, you know what? I think that... You know, Kareem made a point at the end of it about colonial growth, and I think it depends on the time frame you're talking about. I think right now education makes a bigger difference, but I think that, you know, a lot
historically?
Of
historically,
well, I mean, I think historically having a strong military, you know, education's an interesting thing, right? You can have formal education and non-formal education. It's an interesting, I don't know. I pose the fucking questions. I don't answer them.
Yeah. Speaking of education real quickly before we go.
Sure.
Quick fact change. It was Alexander Fleming who discovered penicillin.
Really?
Jonas Salk cured polio.
Oh. All right. Well, I think so. I think it was polio that the kid that I tutored. That was the whole point.
Where are you finding these polio-ridden kids to tutor?
No, it was, he's the grandson of the... Anyway, guys, you're different listening topic, to Sarcastic News Live. We're going to be back. We only have about 15 minutes left here, but we're going to be back here very shortly with Brandon Turner. He's former political consultant Brandon Turner, and we're going to be right back here on Sarcastic News Live.
I sincerely apologize for those
if you're watching live on camera, that was I was twerking
you were doing something. I don't know what to call that,
but it was all a prank by Jimmy Kimmel.
I was cutting beef with Mindy in the back.
Shredding beef
God, yeah. That was disgusting. I'm sorry, that's like the most that was disgusting.
Those are two totally different euphemisms. All right.
We're back here on Sarcastic News Live. My name is Justin Cross. I'm here with Jake the Snake Cranny, Matt Sugar Mills, Kareem Maddox called in a few minutes ago. And with us tonight, a former political consultant. He was a former political consultant for the John Kerry campaign. Brandon Turner is joining us. Brandon, you on the line?
Yes, I am. How's it going, Justin?
I like that. It's going well. It's going real well, Brandon. First of all, I just want to say out of the box, what do you think about your former employer heading over to Syria? What are your thoughts?
I think it's a little bit of real politic. Like, you have to really look at the situation as a whole, what he's trying to do. I am thankful that they're seeking a more peaceful resolution to this matter in Syria than they are, like, just unilaterally and bomb them like alone without any type of global support. So it's a positive development. But
what do you think? I just want to ask you real quick, because what do you think about? I mean, the clip that we played in the beginning of the show was basically him saying like that he doesn't really believe that this will, you know, the sort of diplomacy is going to work out. He really, you know, although he's like, he literally sounded like, yeah, I'm going to go get my free flight to Syria, you know? Like, he's just doing
they
it to get
must
airline.
Stand down.
I really want airline points. You know, like, like he's taking Virgin Atlantic over there. But, like, do you think that it's going to, the diplomacy aspect, do you think that's really going to work? Or do you think at the end of the day, we're going to be bombing them?
I think that with the little amount of support that is currently being enjoyed by this measure, I think that there's a high chance for diplomacy. The American people don't want this. Our partners don't want this. The only people I can see who really want this are like the chicken hawks in Congress and Senate. You know, the old chicken hawk McCain and whatnot. Like, we try to see this as a way to. I'm not sure, but I think in their mind to try to increase the scope of the American empire. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's so much public support against it, and also Obama campaigned on not getting us into this, even though he's kind of in his second term. He can do more or less, not what he wants, but kind of more or less he can do. Doesn't left it. I just don't feel like this is going to fly. I mean, elections are coming up next year. We're going to see who's supporting this, like what candidates are supporting this or not. The Democrats are traditionally the anti-war party. I think there's a decent chance that diplomacy, as long as there's, you know, no other surprises that happen in the interim, like next month or so.
Can I ask what you think on that going along? You know, you mentioned some of the hawks in Congress, but what it seems to me is that a lot of these supposed hawks are now who totally supported Iraq war and supported what some of the other Republican administrations now seem like they're against it, going totally against what some of their positions have always been on military interventions. You know, what do you think on that? What do you think? Do you think that this is becoming too political for politics' sake?
Well, I think that there's been a trend in generally the past, let's say, 6-7 years of just saying no to what Obama wants.
Right, right.
So I think there's still that posturing going on in terms of, you know, the usual chicken hawks who are against this intervention. I mean, they hopped on the whole Benghazi thing as evidence of Obama's kind of being lightweight on international politics and, you know, not really having command and control of all of the different administrations and having them talk with various cabinets and having them talk to each other and whatnot. So I think that, but really I think it's just politics as usual. That's kind of tempering their positions.
Hey, Brandon, I got to ask you quick. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
One more. I think it's just like the rise of the Tea Party and their kind of, you know, neo-libertarian, big isolationist stance on international politics as well. There's been quite a few, with the Tea Party Revolution, there's been quite a few of them in Congress, elected to Congress and the Republican side as well. And they ran a platform of, you know, reducing America's scope, cutting back and whatnot, and this is, you know, part of that.
Brandon, what do you think Obama's, like, what's his motivation to go in there? Is he doing this a little bit for show, or does he really believe that you know, Syria is the next World War VIII?
I don't think it's that Syria is the next World War VIII. I think that what's going on in his mind is, and the administration's, chemical weapons are kind of a red line. Not allowed in modern warfare, and you don't want to set a precedent in letting Syria's not a rogue state, but letting chemical weapons be a part of the, you know, arsenal in terms of modern warfare. So I think in keeping the international system kind of stable and kind of the way we've had it for the past few decades, that that's one of the main reason driving why he is putting a red line on this. And make no mistake, it's not for humanitarian means, though you could, that's what they hark on, but it's not really, I think it's more about just really
keeping the international system stable.
Why does it have to be a red line? Why can't it be, say, I don't know, a purple line? I'll take my call off the air with that one. It's always a red line. Like, can't they even get a blue line or like a green line?
It's symbolic, okay.
I get it now.
Yeah.
I just think it would be so much cuter if it was like a pink line. I don't know.
How about a rainbow line?
Wow.
That's right up Justin's alley.
I like how Brandon's tying two major issues together. You know, he's tying our military influence along with our socio-political situation going on in the country. I like that. It should be a rainbow line, you know? It should be. I agree with you on that. I only have about a minute left with you, Brandon, but I want to ask you real quick, switching subjects. You were a political consultant for a while. I say former political consultant because you're not involved anymore. And why did you get out of being a political consultant? What was it about? Was it a corrosive environment? Well, what was exactly the situation there?
Well, just to give you a brief background, I was kind of in the ground game, the trenches. I was working the Get Out the Vote campaign where you're dealing with, you're dealing with a lot of different groups like labor unions, a bunch of different groups. And it's not like this, what I call the air game, the TV game, where you're kind of in the trenches in the ground. So you see dirtier stuff going on.
Yeah.
I was young, idealistic, naive when I got into it, and I just saw some things that I didn't like. I mean, it is the business of politics, and I'm not going to hate on it or harp on it, but that's just kind of what it was. And also, what I really saw, the thing that mostly changed me is that if I want to affect change in the political world, I think I can do that better through the private sector, I guess, with my talents and abilities. I think I'm better at, affecting change to the private sector as opposed to the public sector.
It's the Al Gore model.
Yeah, the Al Gore model. And Brandon, I'll say this much. I don't blame you. Young, you said you were young, you were naive, you didn't know what you're doing. I mean, that describes every girl that Jake Crenny banged in college.
Right.
So,
Where's the sound effect?
Yeah.
That's honestly...
I closed out. Or the host of Sarcastic News Show.
That's right. That would be me. Brandon, I'm sorry. I wish we had more time, but thank you so much for calling. We are going to have you back soon, whether you like it or not. But thank you very much for joining us here on Sarcastic News Live.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good one, Brandon. And that is, that's a good bit of our sarcastic. We're going to go to a quick break. We're going to close it out right here on Sarcastic News Live. We appreciate you listening. Check out sarcastic-news.com and check out, keep listening to Skid Row Studios after this because Mindy is going to be working, she's going to be working the backside as she usually does.
Hi-oh.
And
shredding the beef.
I'm going after Mindy big time tonight. She opened it up in a certain
way. It's cool.
Yeah. So we're going to very quick break here, and then we're going to be right back right here on Sarcastic News Live. We'll be right back with you. Nothing?
No, we got it.
Oh, no, we don't.
Come on, Sugar Mills.
No.
On,
you know what? You know
Do you guys really need a break?
Yeah, we need a break. It's been
minutes left?
We need a 30-second break.
We can run this down.
I'm going to keep talking. We're going to come back in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a hard break.
Enjoy the intro of this song.
Yeah.
You got a head full of paper, but baby, nothing like origami. Shredded thoughts and makeup will make up for the missing piece of mine. I saw you look. The scenery was suddenly boring. It's the end of an era. Forever is just a state of mind. You're the last of your kind.
And we're back here in Sarcastic. I told you it was going to be short.
I hope you missed us.
I told you, Mindy.
That was the fastest beef shredding I've ever seen.
You're damn right.
Yes.
You're damn right. And that's why it was for beef shredding people in the back whose show is coming up. That's why we did the break for you, okay?
Yeah.
I heard you. You guys listen to Sarcastic News Live. Check us out, sarcasticdouche.com. sarcastic-news.live.com. And we appreciate you guys listening. We got 22 seconds left. Jake, who's our fake sponsor? Real quick.
Sponsor tonight is Subway Healthy Food. Eat fresh. Not fresh, not healthy, and not quite food.
Perfect. That's our show tonight. My name is Justin Cross, Matt Sugar Mills, Jake the St. Cranny. Jake, thank you for joining us. Mindy, thank you so much. Have a good night, guys.
See, I've been here for 28 years, patterns spread beneath these wheels, tattooed lines beneath our skin, no surrender, my Bobby Jean.